A friend of mine took his small son with him to town one day to run some errands. When lunchtime had arrived, the two of them went to a familiar diner for a sandwich. The father sat down on one of the stools at the counter and lifted the boy up to the seat beside him. They ordered lunch, and when the waiter brought the food, the father said, "Son, we'll just have a silent prayer." Dad got through praying first and waited for the boy to finish his prayer, but he just sat with his head bowed for an unusual long time. When he finally looked up, his father had asked him, "What in the world were you praying about all that time?" With the innocence and honesty of a child, he replied, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." Turn over with me to 1 Timothy. Again, the whole reason for 1 Timothy, you can look over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So again, the whole reason we're going through Timothy is to learn what the pillar is, what the ground of truth is, how to behave in the house of God. And that is our goal and that is our plan. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we learn that as he went through in verse 3, he says, "Teach no other doctrine." The first thing Paul tells, and the most important thing, is to teach no other doctrine. Then he goes down to verse 11, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." We have to be committed and be grounded in Paul's doctrine, in Paul's gospel. But then what comes next? And he goes on in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, prayer. An important part of our conduct in the family of God concerns our prayers. And this is very important as a church, as an individual, as anybody in the body of Christ, a believer. Prayer is very, very important. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." First thing he says are to be offered for all men. He tells us that we need to pray for all men. But then he even goes on in verse 2, "for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." But then he handpicks kings and those in authorities. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to pray for them because we disagree with what they're doing. We don't like what they're doing. But to me, that should be all the more reason that we pray for them. Pray that their heart can change. Pray that they'll come back to the Word of God. But that's what the Apostle Paul's telling about. Those that are kings or those that are in authority, we need to be in prayer for them. In verse 1, what kind of prayers is he talking about? "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks." Supplication basically refers to the making of requests. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, "making our request made known before God." Will help us to examine our own hearts. Do we really need what we're asking for, or is it something we just want? Supplications refers to the making of requests. You know, pray that we have the desire that the Lord wants us to have. Not our own desire, not our human desire, but what the Lord wants us to have. Second thing he says is prayers. You know, prayer is simply a conversation. A conversation with God. You know, even though God knows our hearts, he loves to hear from us. You know, and I think of it in a marriage, you know. You can think, my wife knows everything about me. She probably knows more about me than I know about myself. But if I just come home and don't talk to her, there's no conversation. There's no relationship. And not that we're not married any longer, because you can never break that relationship. You can never break that bond. But you can break the fellowship and the relationship with your spouse or with God the Father. So he's asking us to be in conversation. It says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And again, it's not closing your eyes, folding your hands all the time, but just be in constant prayer. Be in constant conversation with the Lord all day, every day. You know, the more we talk to him throughout the day, the more it becomes a constant reminder of his presence and can be a source of strength and comfort in our lives. Next thing he talks about is intercessions. You know, we can intercede for people. We can pray for others. We can intercede for them and lift up prayers for our friends and family and loved ones and enemies as well. If you turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, the Holy Spirit can intercede for us. The Holy Spirit, when we go through struggles, when we go through hard times. But to me, we can do that for all men as well. People that are going times that they don't want to pray, or they're angry, or they're upset, we can lift them up in prayer and intercede for those people. We can pray for them because they're going through a hard time. We can intercede. You know, what is a better comfort than telling somebody that you are praying for them? There's nothing more comforting than saying, hey, I'm praying for you. And again, when you say it, if you ever say it, even if you just take that second, make sure you say a prayer for them. Many times it just becomes, hey, I'm praying for you. Well, it gets on the bottom of the list and we never pray for them. Even if it's in that second, just say a prayer for them. It doesn't take an hour to do it. It takes a second. Just say a prayer. Intercede for these people that are going through hard times. The next thing the Apostle Paul says is giving of thanks. You know, if we teach our children to be thankful in all things, it will change their hearts. We can see in life today that people are not content. People are not thankful. People want more and more and more, and no matter how much they get, it's never enough. Then the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, I know how to be content with whatever state I am. No matter where we are is where God wants us. No matter what's going on in our life is where God wants us. He is sovereign and he has a plan for us. And no matter what is going on, we need to be thankful for that. In Romans 1:21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They did not glorify him not as God. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. You know, we've got to be thankful. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, if you think about what we can be thankful for, to me it's a never-ending list. You could write and write and write. And if you sit here and even ignore all the material things and the physical things and all the blessings that we have here on earth, but if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what happens in this life. We're already seated in the heavenlies. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we could go on and on and on just from the Word of God that nobody can take from us. Nobody can take the seal that the Holy Spirit gives us. Nobody can take our seat in the heavenlies. Nobody can take that from us. Yes, things in this life people can take from us. They can steal from us. They can kill us. They can do other things. But the spiritual blessings, nobody can take from us. And then, like I said, in verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceably life in all godliness and honesty. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to the evil. When people get into this power and reign of what they have, it's hard for them to control it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who's ruling the president or the kings and authorities. They're you know, power hungry. But we've got to pray for these people. We've got to lift them up in prayer and say, change this nation, change America, change the way it is. Each and every day we should be praying for our country, especially now at the time of election.
Amen.
We need to be praying for our next president. We need to be praying for what's going on. And we need to be out there voting as well. And the reason that we pray for these is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, in verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The real motive for desiring a peaceful life is so that we may be able to share Christ with others. You know, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, to show others, you know, with our friends and our neighbors. If we can live a peaceable and quiet life, it's much easier to share the gospel than to be in the middle of drama and problems and different things. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through hard times, but if we get in the Word of God and we cling to that for our faith, we can have a peaceable life and we can share that with others. He goes on in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. A couple different things I see here, and there's a couple things of, I believe that there are two false doctrines that many people preach. And many people believe that Christ will save all men one day. That love wins. That one day everybody that dies will go to heaven. And I wish that were true, but based on the Word of God, it's not. That's not what he says here at all. He wills that all men will be saved. The Greek word here is theli, which literally means desire. God desires that all men will be saved. If all men would be saved, he wouldn't have a desire to have all men saved because they would all be saved. But he desires that. He prays and earns. And Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ, who will have all men to be saved, he has a desire that all men be saved, but they won't. And the other extreme is that Calvinism teaches that God only chooses some to be saved, and all of the rest simply have no chance at all. And the way I look at that, would God truly desire something to be so that was actually impossible? If God chose these five over here to be saved and these five over here not to be saved, would he have a desire that these five be saved? It just sounds silly to me. God truly has a desire that all men be saved. So we have two things here. First, he has all men be saved. That is the first thing. Again, our job in this world is to share the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And the second thing, he wants all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And again, we can go back to 1 Timothy. It says, teach no other doctrine. He says, I'm committed to my trust, my gospel. And turn over with me to Romans 16. This is what the Apostle Paul wants. First is salvation, and second is to come unto the knowledge of the truth. To me, it's two separate things. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, this is Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It was a secret from before the world began, but now is made manifest. Is made manifest basically means it was made clear at this time. The Apostle Paul made it clear. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. The Apostle Paul is saying here, the Lord Jesus Christ has a desire that all men to be saved. That's the first thing. And that is 100% the most important. But there's still a second point to it, and it is to come unto the knowledge of the truth, which is understanding that the death, burial, and resurrection, it was a mystery that was hidden before the world began, and through the Apostle Paul came this gospel that was given to all mankind. Verses 5 and 6, he goes on here. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, let me read verse 5 first. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is only one God. I will tell you today, there is only one God. People in the world want to tell you there's multiple, there's different ways, there's only one way to heaven, and there is only one God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And Paul reaffirms this basic truth, reminding us that we do not need to appeal to a plethora of gods, but to the one true and living God. Then he says there's one mediator between God and men. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament, you had to go to the priest. You had to go to the priest to be able to send up prayers and different things like that. But that's no longer true today. We can go directly to the Father. We can go directly to the throne of grace. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have direct access. In Ephesians 3, 12. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, now we can pray directly to God the Father. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The next thing he says here is he's a ransom. Who gave himself a ransom for all. You know, we are to pray for all. God desires all to be saved. Christ was made a ransom for all. He became a ransom for all. So this means that anyone and everyone can be saved through the faith in his blood. Turn back with me real quick to Matthew chapter 20 just to show you a little bit. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Like I was saying, the Apostle Paul had a mystery that was revealed only to him, that he could go to the Gentiles now. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So here in the book of Matthew, it's a ransom for many. But over in Timothy, it's a ransom for all. And the reason that is that when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he came for the nation of Israel. He came to be a ruler of the nation of Israel. But they rejected him. But in Matthew, it says he came to be a ransom for many. And when the Apostle Paul received the mystery and the mystery program and that we were saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says now it's a ransom for all. Don't get me wrong, Jesus Christ always came to save all mankind. But during his life on earth, he came for the nation of Israel. And when he died on the cross of Calvary is when it became a ransom for all. So you can continue on here. Verse 7, it says, "For this I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." In Sunday school this morning, we talked about truth. What is truth? It's the opposite of a lie. And the Apostle Paul here says, "For I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not." Whatever the Apostle Paul wrote was the inspired word of God. He's a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And then verse 8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Again, where should we pray? Everywhere. You know, some people feel like they have to go to a church or go here or there or go to a temple to pray. The Apostle Paul, through the inspired word of God, says pray everywhere. And then he says, lifting up holy hands. You know, I look at this more as when one lifts up their hands, they are literally offering themselves, their very hands in service to God as a potential answer to prayer. You know, we can sit here and pray all day long. We can sit here and pray for a lost believer out there that does not understand the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can sit here in this room and pray 24 hours. But until we go out there and lift up our holy hands and tell them about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, they will never know it. It is our job. The prayer is to burden us. The prayer is to change us. The prayer is to make us go out there and witness to that person that we're praying for. It is our job. It is our job to lift up these hands and be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, without wrath and doubting. You know, Paul warns us to not pray with wrath. You know, you would think it would be unlikely that a true believer would ever approach the prayer and pray out of anger. Have you ever prayed out of anger before? So let's get back to them. Let's heap coals of fire on top of their head. Let them be, you know, let them. Get them, Lord. Get them, Lord. But the Apostle Paul says, don't do it in wrath. Take your time. Pray for your enemies. And then he also warns us not to pray without doubting. Or with doubting. Don't pray. Warned us not to pray with doubting. And you know, I think this means basically that prayer takes us beyond human reasoning. You know, the more we pray, the more we see the power of God. The more we pray, the more it goes beyond our human reasoning. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The more we pray, the doubt goes away. The more we pray, the more we see the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we pray, we can cling to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the best things we can do to make this earth a more pleasant place is to fulfill our duty to pray for those in authority. You know, yes, the Apostle Paul says, pray for all men. But then he comes down to a specific and says, for kings and for all that are in authority. That is what we are called to do. That is our job to do. We are required. We are told to pray for those in authority. And if you desire a quiet and peaceable life, then let the blood of Jesus cleanse your heart so your prayers will be heard. Again, I'm not saying that life will get perfect just because you're in prayer. But I do believe it gets easier. I don't think the situation changes. I don't think anything outside, but you become stronger in your faith. And it gets easier on the outside the more we're in prayer. We're going to end a little differently this morning with all the things going on in this world right now with the riots and the police officers being shot and different things like that and the election coming up. I just want to take a few minutes, and anybody that feels led to pray, just please stand up and pray. And in just a few minutes, I'll close us in prayer this morning. But please, if you feel led, pray for our country, pray for our next president, pray that some of these things can calm down. You know, the more we bring kids into this world, the scarier it gets. Amen. So the only thing we can do that I know of is pray. So anybody that wants to, please pray, and then I'll close in a few minutes.
our elected officials, Father, that they might consider you and consider your word as the basis for the decisions that they make. Father, in doing this, we might turn this nation around. That's all in your hands. Through it all, Father, I just honor and glorify you and thank you for all that you've done in our lives. I pray to you in Jesus' most precious name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come to your throne of grace. We just thank you that we can pray directly to you and make our petitions and our requests made known to you. At this time, with all these different things going on in the world, we just pray that the United States will turn back to you, that we can change things that are going on, Lord. Just lift up all these families of loved ones that have lost loved ones, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with them and wrap your arms around them. And if they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that something through these times will show them the glory of you. This life here on earth is short. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we've got. But we do know that we are seated in the heavenlies. We just pray as this morning, as we've learned, that as we lift up our holy hands, that we will be of service to you, that we won't just say prayers, but we will go out and take action, that we won't miss opportunities, that we will share the gospel, that we will tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray for America and pray for the next election, for the president, that things will start turning back to you. We just thank you that we still have the freedom we have, that we can come and worship you, and that we can come and sing praises, and that we can come and study the Word of God in a free country. We just thank you for that. We just pray as we all go our own ways this afternoon, Lord, that we will be a light, that we can be a light for you, and that we can tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in your Son's name. Amen.